Hello, Stony Creek Church. Glad you could be with us today at our 11:30 service. You'll want to get your outline out so you can follow along with the message this morning. Hey, look at this. Isn't this something? Isn't this something? Really, these kids are going to have a blast this week. And yes, they were so thoughtful. They provided me with my very own restroom here. So if during the sermon, nature calls, you'll excuse me and I can go. Sometimes I see you guys going out, the door. And I think, what about me, Well, here it is. They got a good likeness of me, right there. That's an AI picture of me that they turned into a Lego kind of a thing. I actually think they improved on me a little bit there. Yeah, so there we are. And but hey, if you haven't signed up your kids yet for this wonderful VPS program, make sure you do that. Get them signed up. They're going to have a blast. This could be the pivotal time for them in their lives to come to know Jesus. So it's right there in your program. You can register your kids online. It's not too late. Also, if you're new to us, we'd love to treat you today to free Jets pizza right after this service, right down there in the student center at the end of the hallway. It's on us, all the fixings with Jets Pizza, and you'll get to know some of us there, some of the leaders, me, and the others, and I'd really like you to come to that. So if you can, please do. Have you ever worked for a nasty boss? Watch out there. Careful now. Or maybe you've experienced a really difficult work situation. Work can be hard enough just itself. But when you add to it a tyrannical boss or backstabbing coworkers, it becomes a nightmare. And yet, you need that paycheck, don't you? Of course you do. Maybe you don't get any respect at your workplace. Maybe there's no incentive for you to improve, no reward for your extra hard labor. Ever seen this sign at work? Due to recent cutbacks, the light at the end of the tunnel has been turned off. How's that for encouragement? Where is God when you face injustice? At your workplace or really anywhere? Today is part 7 in our series, Wrestling with God. It's a series in the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible. And we're zeroing in on the life of Jacob, better known as Israel. And of course, we know Israel's in the news, even today, big news, and we got to be in prayer for the people of the Middle East. This is a very difficult time, and they need our prayers. But our series is Wrestling with God. It's Israel, or Jacob, and this man, he lived 1,700 years before the birth of Christ, and yet his life is still relevant to us today. Jacob grows up scamming to get his way. That's just the way he gets through things. But when he has to flee 450 miles from Beersheba up to Haran to escape his brother, who wants to kill him because Jacob has scammed him so badly out of his birthright, Jacob meets his match when he gets to Haran, his uncle, Uncle Laban. He is a veteran scammer. Last Sunday, we saw Jacob's two wives, Rachel and Leah, as the desperate housewives, the sister wives, as they compete to out-reproduce each other, right? They even get their maids into the act as concubines for Jacob, so that altogether Jacob ends up with 12 sons and one daughter. It's raining babies in Haran. But behind all this bitter rivalry between the wives and this cheating of Jacob by Laban, God is working. He's working on his plan. He's even using the evil of Laban to fulfill his promise, the promise made to Abraham and then down to Isaac, and now down to Jacob, the founder of the nation. God is with Jacob, even when it's not obvious. Today, the message is entitled, When Your Job Stinks. Even stinks worse even than that restroom over there. When your job stinks, God, he's at work. How is he at work in your difficult workplace situation, or perhaps a difficult marital situation or a family situation? How is he at work? Well, it's all wrapped up in our main idea, the one thing you want to remember if you forget everything else. Are you taking notes? I hope you are. You'll want to write it down. It goes like this. The evil someone intends can't cancel the blessing God sends. That's one you can take to the bank. The evil can't cancel the blessing. We see how this unfolds in the second part of the book of Genesis, chapter 30, and we're going to pick up at verse 25. It says, after Rachel gave birth to Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, send me on my way so I can return to my homeland. Give me my wives and my children that I have worked for and let me go. You know how hard I have worked for you. But Laban said to him, if I have found favor with you, stay. I have learned, note this, by divination, that the Lord has blessed me because of you. Then Laban said, name your wages, and I will pay them. So Jacob said to him, you know how I have served you and how your herds have fared with me. For you had very little before I came, but now your wealth has increased. Help me out here. The Lord has blessed you because of me. And now, when will I also do something for my own family? Laban asked him, what should I give you? And Jacob said, you don't need to give me anything. If you do this one thing for me, I will continue to shepherd and keep your flock. Let me go through all your sheep today and remove every sheep that is speckled or spotted, every dark-colored sheep among the lambs, and the spotted and speckled among the female goats. Such will be my wages. In the future, when you come to check on my wages, my honesty will testify for me. If I have any female goats that are not speckled or spotted, or any lambs that are not black, they will be considered stolen. Good, said Laban. Let it be as you have said. Now note this. That day, Laban removed the streaked and spotted male goats and all the speckled and spotted female goats, every one that had any white on it, and every dark-colored one among the lambs, and he placed his sons in charge of them. He put a three-day journey between himself and Jacob. Jacob, meanwhile, was shepherding the rest of Laban's flock. Jacob then took branches of fresh poplar, almond, and plain wood and peeled the bark, exposing white stripes on the branches. He set the peeled branches in the troughs in front of the sheep, in the water channels where the sheep came to drink, and the sheep bred when they came to drink. The flocks bred in front of the branches and bore streaked, speckled, and spotted young. Jacob separated the lambs and made the flocks face the streaked sheep and the completely dark sheep in Laban's flocks. Then he set his own stock apart and didn't put them with Laban's sheep. Whenever the stronger of the flock were breeding, Jacob placed the branches in the troughs in full view of the flocks, and they would breed in front of the branches. As for the weaklings of the flocks, he did not put out the branches. So it turned out that the weak sheep belonged to Laban and the stronger ones to Jacob. And the man became very rich. He had many flocks, female and male slaves, and camels and donkeys. That is the word of the Lord. Now, from this text, please notice with me three truths to depend on. Three truths you can depend on when your workplace stinks or any situation that you're in stinks. Number one, God is at work. Even if you have a jerk for a boss, even if you're surrounded by coworker jerks, God is at work in your workplace. How do you know? Because he has you there. And he's at work with you. Nothing happens by accident. Even the hardships, God has a purpose for you and everything that happens around you. Jacob, of course, as we've read, is a huge blessing to Laban's family sheep business. I mean, Jacob is a cash cow. He's very skilled, very talented. He has this gift from God to just make it happen in this business. Even Laban, the stingy, hard-hearted jerk who can't tell the truth from a hole in the wall, even he can see it. How? Well, he says that he discovered this through divination. Remember that? Divination. And he tells us that he discovered it through the Lord, that the Lord told him this through divination. You know what divination is? Divination, that's pagan occult practices used to obtain guidance from the gods, the pagan gods, or the dearly departed. Laban worshipped many gods, and we don't know what kind of divination he used to supposedly obtain this information. It may have been astrology or omens or spells or seances or a fortune teller. All of these things are strictly forbidden by God in Scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 through 13. And yet, Laban is so mixed up in his theology that he thinks the Lord has told him through this means. You know, psychics sometimes will tell you, I've got a gift from God. They'll blame it on God, what they're doing, you know. But of course, it's not from God. The point here is that God's blessing on Jacob's work is so undeniable that even Laban, using the occult, can't miss it, can't deny it. Christian, your workplace is a mission field. Unbelievers are watching you. As Laban was watching Jacob, you may think that your boss, your co-workers are too clueless to notice your Christianity. But not so. Even a scoundrel like Laban, using his occultic practices, could see that God was at work. God wants to bless unbelievers through you in your workplace. It brings him glory and makes people curious about him. Be a good worker, and God will shine through you. My daughter-in-law, she's Hannah. She's away camping this weekend. She's a very hard worker, very cheerful. Her boss is sitting right down here. So am I telling the truth about her?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Good. Ooh, glad. I'm putting myself on the spot there. Yeah. She's very cheerful, very friendly, very humble, and yet I've been surprised over the years how many people she's had out here to church. In fact, the woman she's away with up north camping this weekend has been coming to our church for months at Hannah's invitation, because she's made the gospel attractive to her friends at work. Laban couldn't miss Jacob's hard work and God's blessing. Later, Jacob tells Laban how harsh of a boss he has been. Look at Genesis 31, 40 and 41. It says, "This was my situation, Laban, when I worked for you. The heat consumed me in the daytime and the cold at night, and sleep fled from my eyes. It was like this for 20 years I was in your household. I worked for you 14 years for your two daughters and 6 years for your flocks, and you changed my wages 10 times. Laban is a jerk of a boss. He's a jerk of an uncle. Yet God is working through this to mold Jacob, to train Jacob, to build his family. Jacob credits his blessing not to his own skills, not to himself, not to his own ingenuity, but to the Lord." Look what he says. Again, we read this earlier, verse 30. He says, "For you had very little before I came, but now your wealth has increased. The Lord has blessed you because of me." And he's right. Jacob, you see, he's beginning to get it. He remembers God's promise to him back at Bethel, remember? Where he anointed the stone, where he saw the stairway to heaven with God up at the top, and God promised then to take care of him and to be with him. Well, Jacob remembers that. Despite the injustice, he knows God is with him. Jacob is faithful. He works hard because he sees God at work. God rewards honest, faithful, hard work. Remember this. Remember this on the tough days at your workplace. Remember that your real boss is the Lord. Work for him. Consider your work as unto him. Be honest. Work hard. Project a good attitude, and God's blessing will shine through you. Let's look at the second truth to depend on when your workplace stinks. Number two, God meets your needs. Laban keeps ratcheting up his jerkiness at every turn. Jacob wants to quit his job. At the beginning of our story, remember, he says, "Send me on my way. I'm done. I want to leave. I want to go home." But he has nothing for his own family to live on. Laban is not just Jacob's boss. He's Jacob's uncle. You would think he'd care about providing for his nephew, you know, considering that he needs to build his own nest egg for his family. If Jacob quits now, he's broke. He's got four wives to care for and 12 kids. Man, 17 mouths to feed, and if you include himself. And Jacob is being exploited. And the same thing happens today in some workplaces. Jacob is being exploited. But Laban, he smells a bargain here. He can't believe what he's hearing. More cheap labor, more big profits. Time to make a deal. Jacob says, okay, I'll keep working for you. You just give me all the sheep and the goats that are spotted, speckled, or in the goat's case, dark. What's he thinking? This doesn't seem to make sense if you understand the culture. The sheep in that region were Awassi fat-tailed sheep. Jacob would know. He's been shepherding sheep most of his life. He would know that Awassi sheep are almost always white, just as you see in the picture here. No spotted ones here. The goats are almost always black. Less than 20% would be spotted or streaked or speckled. How could Jacob be so stupid, really, to make this kind of a deal? He's the one who offers it. Or is he beginning to trust God to care for him? Laban, of course, gladly agrees to this deal. He can't believe his ears that Jacob would make this kind of a deal. He stands to make a fortune. But to make doubly sure, Laban immediately separates all the sheep and the goats with any mixed color and leaves only the solid colors with Jacob. So there's very little chance that there's going to be any speckled or spotted sheep. Then, on top of that, he moves the spotted ones 3-day journey away. That's about 60 miles. So Jacob can't get anywhere near them. Laban is leaving nothing to chance here. He has stacked the deck against Jacob. What a dirtbag this guy is. But Jacob is not as dumb as he looks. He knows what Laban is up to. So Jacob trusts the Lord. And he also uses his head as best he can. He attempts this ancient form of selective breeding. Folk traditions, I know it sounds strange to us today, this thing that he does here, but folk traditions among shepherds claimed that what an animal sees right before mating is going to affect the offspring. Jacob thinks that if the animals see streaks and spots when they're in heat right before they mate, they're going to produce offspring with streaks and spots. So he places these peeled branches in the water troughs in front of the sheep as they're drinking, and then they mate. So the strong animals will breed streaked, spotted, and speckled offspring. And the weak animals, well, he doesn't do this for them, and those are for Laban. In this way, Jacob's flocks increase exponentially, and he becomes extremely prosperous. You saw, it says that not only does he have all these sheep, he's able to afford camels and donkeys. That's like having, you know, a fleet of Mercedes-Benz. This guy's becoming wealthy here, even though he's supposed to be cheated and exploited. You say, come on now, you're telling me that this hocus pocus with the branches, that this actually worked and made all of this happen? Well, I don't know what kind of effect it may have had. According to some, you know, for generations, we thought, this is just a bunch of superstition. But Some are now saying that there may be a basis for this in epigenetics, that the peeled branches may have released some nutrient into the drinking water that affected the genes and the fur color of the animals. Well, maybe so, but this looks like miracle grow to me here. Certainly, peeled branches aren't going to work to that extent, even if there's something to this. No, and of course, Jacob didn't know anything about epigenetics. He's just using the techniques that are available to him in his culture, in his day. He's doing what he thinks will work best, just as we would do, all right? And yet God knows everything there is to know about epigenetics. He knows everything there is to know about breeding sheep and reproduction. He's the Lord of all of that stuff. And Jacob is trusting. He's trusting in God. Note what Jacob says in the next chapter, chapter 31, beginning at verse 10. He says, one time during the mating season, I had a dream, and I saw that the male goats mating with the females were streaked, speckled, and spotted. Then in my dream, the angel of God said to me, Jacob, look up, and you will see that only the streaked, speckled, and spotted males are mating with the females of your flock. For I have seen how Laban has treated you. I am the God who appeared to you at Bethel, the place where you anointed the pillar of stone and made your vow to me. You see, God is behind the scenes. He's working in this situation. He's providing for Jacob and his family. And the Lord does the same for us. Jesus said, I am with you always, even to the very end. Even in the tough times, in the tough situations, we need to trust him to provide. You know, when Debbie and I were planning to get married, we were going to get married and then move down to Dallas Theological Seminary, where I was going to train for ministry, for my master's degree. It was a rigorous four-year full-time program. And the only trouble was we didn't have two nickels to rub together. We didn't have much money. We had been working, but I had been paying my way through college and all this kind of thing. And we wondered, well, where's the income? We have no job down there waiting for us. We had no housing waiting for us down there. What are we going to do? So we prayed about it. We sensed God was leading us to do this. And he provided. He provided an apartment for us right across the street from the seminary. Seminary-owned housing that was inexpensive, clean, and comfortable. He provided a job for Debbie, a full-time job for her, the very first place where she applied. Very first place. In fact, they even created a position for her. And it was just right around the corner. She didn't even have to drive there. She could walk. And the day I was to register at Dallas Theological Seminary, that very day, I was informed that a full-time scholarship was waiting for me to pay every penny of my tuition. For 4 years, I never had to pay anything for that expensive school down there. God provided for our needs. He took care of us every step of the way. There were still tight times, but he provided everything we needed. You see, where God guides, God provides. Where God guides, God provides. And he'll do this for you. God promises to meet all our needs. The only caveat is what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. He says, seek first the kingdom. And when you do that, all the things you need will be provided for you. You might not be driving a Cadillac, you may not be living in a mansion, but your needs will be met. If you put me first, he says, I will make sure that all your needs are provided. You maybe are saying, well, how do I know that he's going to provide all my needs? Well, I'll tell you how I know, because he's already done so with your very biggest, most desperate need of all. He's provided for a way to save you from your alienation from God. That's your biggest need of all, whether you know it or not. I love this verses, in Romans chapter 8, especially the way it's put in the Phillips translation, really brings out the original meaning. Look at what Paul says. Look at this. This is gold. He says, if God is for us, who can be against us? I mean, there's nobody over him. If he's for you, who can be against you? He that did not hesitate to spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. Can we not trust such a God to give us with him, that is with Jesus, everything else that we can need? For crying out loud, he gave us his son to save us. If your dad gifted you a multi-million dollar estate with all the furnishings, everything you could possibly dream of in a dream house, do you think he would deny you a napkin to wipe your mouth? Huh? No way. He will provide for you. He takes care of you. God loves you. Jesus, God's Son, died on the cross to pay the penalty for your sins and arose from the dead. All you have to do is trust him. All you have to do is receive him. And he saves you. And all you have to do is trust and put him first, and he provides everything you need. Let's look at the third truth to depend on when your workplace stinks. Number three, God shows you when to quit. He shows you. Jacob worked a total of 20 years for Laban, during which time Laban cheated him and mistreated him. He gave 14 years to get Rachel and Leah. And now under this breeding deal, he works another 6 years serving his nasty scoundrel of a father-in-law, Laban. At the beginning of today's story, if you remember, Jacob says, hey, I want to leave. I want to go home. All right, this is before the 6 years, all right, before the breeding deal. He wants to leave. But it strikes me, if he had quit at that point, think of all he would have missed. He would have left broke, for one, but next, he would have missed what God was going to teach him during those 6 difficult years. He would also have gone away poor rather than wealthy. Why did Jacob hang on at the beginning of that 6 years before any of that wealth came his way? Well, for one thing, he was broke, but more importantly, he hadn't heard from God yet. You see, God will tell you when it's time to make a big move. He will. Your ears need to be open for it, but he will tell you. Look what God later says to Jacob, again in chapter 31, this time verse 13. He says to Jacob, I am the God who appeared to you at Bethel, the place where you anointed the pillar of stone and made your vow to me. Now get ready and leave this country and return to the land of your birth. Time to go. Time to go. Time to quit. You see, God says when to quit, when it's time to leave. Develop a love relationship with him. Trust him. Obey him. He will speak to you. He speaks to you in his word, This is the primary way he speaks to you. God's inerrant, infallible word, he speaks to you here. Be in it every day. But he also speaks to us when we pray. He speaks to us in all kinds of various ways through godly people here at the church when you seek counsel. He speaks, but you got to have your ears open. You got to be listening. You got to be receptive. Many years ago, I was suffering through an excruciating time in my life and in my ministry. It was the toughest time in my life. I wanted to quit. I wanted to quit my ministry. But God spoke through my dear friend, Dr. Gary Habermas. Many of you have heard him when he has spoken here. And he told me, he urged me not to quit. And I am so grateful. I would have missed out on so much blessing. I don't know what would have happened to the church, but I don't know what would have happened to me. I think I would have crashed and burned. And I would have missed out on the blessing that he showered upon me here at Stony Creek. God showed me, you see. He spoke to me. It was hard. It was very difficult. For years it was difficult. Very difficult. But he spoke to me. And I'm so glad that I heeded that advice. You know, we want to bolt. When the job is tough, when adversity comes, or maybe in a marriage or a ministry, at the first sign of adversity, we want out. I'm out of here. I don't deserve this. Our culture tells us to pamper yourself, doesn't it? But Jesus tells us to deny yourself. Total difference. Look at what Jesus says, Luke 9:23. If anyone wants to follow after me, is that you? You want to follow after him? Do you? Okay. Well then, here's what you do. Let him deny himself. Take up his cross daily. Daily. And follow me. We wrongly assume that God's will is always the path of least resistance. But most often, God's will is the path of much resistance. Brothers and sisters, guard against whining. Guard against pampering yourself. Self-pity. Self-pity is your enemy. It might taste good at the time, but it is poison. God honors faithful, hard work, even when conditions are not ideal. Wait on God to lead you. He will bless you. The evil someone intends can't cancel the blessing God sends.